It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at 12:20, Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram is going to join us. Some news out of Berea. Dan Menigan, what are you looking at?
So, gentlemen, according to Daniel Oyafusi, that is it for Browns training camp practice number 12. Flacco took every first team rep in 11-on-11s. Gabriel and Sanders alternated reps with the twos and the threes. Kenny Pickett still limited to 7-on-7s, but worked with the starters during 7-on-7s.
Mm. Pickett's becoming the man of mystery here, is he not?
Yes, he is. I agree with you. You know what keeps flowing around is he can't make the club from the tub. I don't know why I have that in the back of my head, but and I don't know who does that apply to. If you're, there's a race and you've got four athletes trying to get one spot, I think you can't make the club from the tub is a good line that coaches use when they're trying to make a hard decision. And at the end, they're like, well, who actually played?
Can I throw this question at you?
Mm-hmm.
Does Kenny Pickett have to make the club in their minds, or was he already, in their mind, one of the guys they were counting on? In other words, either as the starter or as the main backup. See, we don't know the answer to that. To me, if you just look at the resumes and the situations for all of these guys, it's why I've pushed Pickett the whole time. Because if you just look at their situation, all right, 40-year-old veteran, rookies, not first-round picks, or guy who was 15-10 as a starter in the NFL, played against us a couple of times, so we saw him up close and personal. To me, he's the guy that I would think they have circled as, this is the guy. This might be the guy.
Here's the way I'm going to phrase this question, the answer for you. Ready? I'm going to say the name. You tell me if you'd be surprised if they traded, right?
If they traded him?
If they traded him. Okay?
Okay.
Joe Flacco.
No.
Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yes.
Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
I just think based on this team and what they've done in the past, that front office, I don't think they're scared to pull the trigger on any one of those four guys to trade.
In a trade?
Yes.
The only thought is this. What are you going to get for Dylan Gabriel? What are you going to get for Shedeur Sanders? What are you going to get for Kenny Pickett? I don't think... See, to me, the idea of trade is something you do to benefit your team. If you trade one of those guys, you'll be lucky to get a third-round pick for Dylan Gabriel, and you'd be really lucky to get a fourth-round pick for Shedeur Sanders. You might be able to increase his draft spot a little bit just because he played well first game out. I don't think you trade him, Andy, because they're not bringing you back a whole lot. And Pickett wouldn't either. Flacco isn't a long-term fit. He might be your best quarterback this year, might not be. But, you know, you might get a fifth for Joe. Okay, well, you didn't invest anything. All you did was, I mean, the other guys, you at least invested a draft pick in each guy, and you traded for Pickett, so you had to swap some draft picks, and you gave up a young quarterback who, keep in mind, you were really happy about getting in the fifth round, just like Shedeur, and who had big college numbers. But Flacco, all you did was say, hey, come on in. And you might get the biggest return for him. And if you're thinking, we need to find out who our quarterback is or isn't, all Joe's going to do there is get in the way. See, the Menigan thought, and I think it's a good one. You know, you got to find out if one of these guys is going to be your quarterback for a year or two, or might you have a quarterback who you can play long term. We know that's not Joe. This is nothing against Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a guy who's, what, an 18-year veteran and is 40 years old. He's not the future here. He might be this year and next.
It depends how you define the word future.
Tell me, Mr. Clinton.
Well, I'm just saying, define the word future, and I don't know why you got political on me, but if the future for a team that has not had success in the playoffs means you make the playoffs for 2 years in a row,
Oh, now see,
I'll take the future for 2 years.
And he's going playoffs.
I'm just saying, if you think that's where you're going, then the future in the NFL should only be 3 years. I don't care who it is.
I'll be honest. I've seen about four games from Joe Flacco since he's left Baltimore, where it makes me think that he's my playoff quarterback, and they all came here.
In the last 17 games, he's thrown for as many yards as Mahomes. Who else? About the same as Baker. I'm looking. Josh Allen's really the only guy.
And Deshaun Watson's biggest passing yardage season came when the Texans were 4-12.
So, I mean, I'm just saying he's got 26 touchdowns. Mahomes threw for 28. Josh Allen threw for 25. This is all in the last 17 games. So, I'm not. I just don't care.
How many of those games make a difference to me? How many of those games were wins? I don't care about the stats.
Last time I checked,
you keep talking about wins.
Well, you want to talk about wins and losses. Last time I checked, you've got to play an offense and a defense. So you can't always put it on the quarterback. Your defense has to stop the other team from scoring too. That's the thing. In football, you can't just you can place a heavy finger on the quarterback if the offense doesn't move. But what do you do about the defense? They only play half the game.
When Joe Flacco was here, he was playing with the number one defense in the NFL.
And they got to the playoffs, and they look great. Offensively,
they look great.
In the one playoff game, they did not look great, but they got there. And I don't know, how many times have we sat out and watched everybody else play in the playoffs?
Did they look great on offense?
Did they win?
They looked Flacco-like.
Did they look great on offense?
Win? Yeah, they look good enough to win every week. Now we want to go back to the wins and losses. I'll take the wins in this argument.
No. The point that I'm trying to make in all of this is that if we go in the Wayback Machine, again, we join Mr. Peabody and Sherman, we hop in the Wayback Machine.
I'm telling you the last 17 games.
Hang with me. I'm not trying to get grumpy. I'm not trying to make you grumpy. Remember how broken that offense was. Remember that P.J. Walker had a hard time completing a pass. We were all screaming and yelling because they were running every single trick play that they could possibly think of to hide how bad DTR was and hide how bad P.J. Walker was and how broken that offense was. Joe Flacco came in and they went, we are going to run the Carpe Diem offense. And by that, I mean we are going to run heavy bootleg play action and you are going to fling this damn thing consequences out the window.
Sure.
Because we've got the number one defense in football. Joe Flacco, I think it was 12 touchdowns and 8 picks in 4 games.
Sure.
He was throwing picks left and right on top of it.
Yeah.
If you didn't have the number one defense, you could not live that life.
So now you're backing up my argument about you can't determine wins and losses because you can only play half the side of the game.
But do you think the defense that you are going to see in 2025 is going to have the same level of success that the defense did with Joe Flacco at the helm, where you ran the Carpe Diem offense?
Can I sum up my thought for you on this, Andy? I feel bad. I'm not bashing Joe Flacco here because Joe's had a great career. Shadur looked really intriguing the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see more. I hope Dylan Gabriel looks intriguing when he gets a chance to play. If he does, I would want to see more. And I'm intrigued by Kenny Pickett, period. Forget the name. I don't want an 18-year, 40-year-old quarterback getting in the way of playing time for three guys who I think are young and intriguing quarterback prospects. That's it. It's not Joe personally. I don't need a 40-year-old blocking snaps for three young guys who I think might be pretty good. That's what it is. And it's not, Flacco did a great job when he was here before. Was it fun? Yeah. Did he throw it around? Yeah. But it was fun. I just don't need a 40-year-old quarterback getting in the way of young, intriguing quarterback prospects.
If I'm Kevin Stefanski, I need to win. And if I throw the young guys out there,
that might not be your marching order from your owner.
You walk out another 3-win season, I want to see him survive that. I want to see him survive another 3-win season, if that's the case.
I'm not convinced that Joe actually gives you a better chance to win than one of the young, intriguing quarterbacks.
I'm just telling you, if I'm Kevin, I'm starting Joe week one and riding it as long as I can. If it starts to turn south and I've got to make a move, then I'll make a move after that. The guy I trust is the guy that's been out on the field, the guy I believe is going to make the right decisions out on the field to help me win every week. I'm not playing for 2026. I'm playing not even for week three. I'm playing for Cincinnati week one, and the season isn't over yet. And I don't care if anyone's telling us we're going to be the fourth place team. I don't care if anyone's telling me my quarterback is way too old. I don't care anymore. I'm giving the ball to Joe Flacco week one if he's healthy, because I think I trust him more than anybody else I'm going to put out on that field. I can see the argument for Pickett.
You're speaking for Andy Baskin. You're not speaking for Kevin Stefanski,
no,
because we don't know how he feels.
Oh, I know. But here's what if you ask me to have an opinion about this, my opinion is this. I would start Joe Flacco week one, and let's see how it plays out. Again, though, I'll tell you, if Shador or Dylan or Pickett goes out there and lights things up, then I'm trading Joe Flacco before the season starts, because I'm sure there's some other team that could use him and put him in a position where he's going to play every week. Every team needs two quarterbacks you can hand the ball to on any given Sunday, Thursday.
No, Andy, Monday. That's wrong. Every team needs six.
That's right.
James is in Middlefield. Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm, lifelong Browns fan, and I'm just blown away. This preseason win where Shadur threw for two touchdowns. It's all worth it.
It's okay,
hang the
man.
Banner. Print the T-shirts. I'm over the moon.
Did you make the statue, too? Are you in the statue club on that, too?
Yeah. We're going to, that's going to be unveiled. I think, I got the guy working on it. He's working out of Burton. Yeah, we're going to fix that up.
The guy working on it.
Yeah, it's in the works.
That's true.
James, thank you very much. James might be a little too on the let's keep it under control thing, except guess what?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, no, he's right. It's a preseason game. The kid looked really intriguing. To take it any further than that is just way too optimistic. But I'm still optimistic. Roman's in Canton. Hello, Roman.
Roman!
What's up, fellas? Happy, beautiful, sunny Monday.
Yeah!
There you go. Take it.
How about that?
Yeah.
I think you have to let Joe go out there and quiet everybody down about what happened before. And let's also not forget that we were in that playoff game until the middle of the third quarter when those back-to-back picks happened.
Yeah, like, they happened, Roman.
Oh, trust me. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. Right. But it's not like we were getting blown out from the start of that game. So it happened, sure. I think we need to let him run the wheels off until, the fan base and the coaching staff say, all right, maybe we can't strike lightning in a bottle twice. But I think that bye week is perfect. See how you got Stefanski, we've had him for 5 years now. He likes to break things down into, one rep, then one series, then one game or quarter. He breaks it all the way down. So, let's break the season down. Let's start off and see if we can win one game at a time. And whatever rookie is going to be the eventual starter, or, if it's Kenny Pickett, the time on the bench is only going to be beneficial because they're going to be learning more and more and more. So I think you have to let Flacco go out there and just see what he can do. And how much luck have we had with throwing out a rookie or a young guy who's not ready to the Wolves? You know what I mean?
That's why I'm intrigued about Pickett. You get the best of both worlds.
Intrigue doesn't get you wins, though, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but 40-year-old quarterback might not get you wins either, Roman.
He might, but he got us some, and he got us into the playoffs when we had him last.
Okay.
But again, I think
and Pickett has a better Paco. Let's just call him Paco. The combined Pickett.
Let's put everybody together. Can you get them all?
Let's just do that.
Sound like a sneeze.
For whatever it's worth, winning percentage wise, Pickett's is better than Flacco's. Whatever it's worth.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, the guy's actually won some games in the NFL. He can't help it if he's only won 15 of them. He's only started 26, 25. I just want to see him. To me, he's the most...
Why do we have to build him up? We've got to tear the other guy down. Oh, he's got a better winning percentage than Joe Flacco. I'm not tearing him down.
I'm just stating a fact, Andy.
Okay.
If I wanted to tear him down, I'd say he sucked, he can't move, and he throws the ball to the other team way too often. But I didn't say that. But that's an example of if
Wait a minute, you just said it.
No, I said if I wanted to, I'd say this, but I didn't want to.
But you told me
how to do it.
Everyone is perfectly qualified in their own individual ways.
That's right.
Scott Petrak coming up next from the Chronicle-Telegram. Wonder who he wants to see at quarterback. We'll find out next.